Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by the FTN Network, breaking down NFL action with the info you need to crush your fantasy leagues.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Y'all know who it is, it's your boy Ray G, joined, as always, by my co-host, the wizard himself, Josh Larkey. This is episode five episodes in. Josh, how you doing this evening? How you feeling about episode five? We're starting to get a little comfortable, getting in our stride, getting into our groove. I think we're excited for this episode. How are you this evening, man?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's gonna be a good episode. We're five episodes in. We're about a month into this thing. I feel like each episode gets smoother. The chemistry's building. We could probably do this 2-3 times a week if we had to, and it would go pretty well. So once a week, this is one of the highlights of my week in terms of it's hard to believe that we're getting paid for this type of thing right here, where we just talk trade opinions, trade research, trade ideas. And yeah, we have a very fun show lined up for the people today.
Well, you said it's a smooth show, but what people don't know, this was the third intro. I had to do this thing 3 times to get it right, Larkey. So they don't always get to see how the sausage is made, but we made it. I think this is going to be a real actionable episode. You know, we talked about different ideas and different things that we wanted to touch on right now, and I think this is going to blend the best of sort of redraft, dynasty, rookie talk, expectations, all of that in this show, supported by data. You know, if Larkey's on the mic, he's going to bring the numbers to the table. So this is an awesome episode. I think this is going to be an awesome episode. People are going to love it. But I know you got some things we are contractually obligated to get to before we start. So go ahead and do your thing, Larkey.
Yeah. So also for everyone out there that's like, oh, what were those first two takes like? Audience, don't worry. You'll have the privilege of hearing the first two takes. We can put those in the outtakes. So if you want to hear it, it's a little cringeworthy, but we all have those moments.
So definitely cringy, definitely slight cringe, but we got it. And yes, go ahead and put me on blast. I don't give a damn.
So the producer's in my ear as usual. Everyone, just so you know, if you want to sign up for FTN Fantasy, if you want to support this enterprise, support what we're doing, because as you know, it's a free podcast, use promo code Larkey, LARKY. It's going to get you 20% off any FTN subscription. If you're on FTNFantasy.com, FTNBets.com, FTNDaily.com, we have you covered across the board, all sports, but as you know, this is a football podcast, so especially football, We're almost done with rookie draft season for the most part, and we're starting to get a little taste of redraft, best ball. And speaking of best ball, just going to tease it a little bit, but I will have a pretty comprehensive best ball guide coming out at the start of next month. So if you want not just my rankings, but a write-up on every single player, if you want full projections for all the players that are included in the guide, if you want my stacking report, the players that I'm targeting, my favorite stacks, if you want my research on roster construction, on optimal stacking, you want my research on rookies, which we're going to talk about a lot today, is what should we expect from a rookie in year one? Because I know a lot of people are wondering that. They're like, all right, my rookie draft is done, or I'm about to have my rookie draft, but what about this year? Like, if I'm rebuilding, who's someone that can add value to my rebuild? Or maybe you're like, hey, I want the player that I think is really good, who's kind of a slow play. If you're contending, you don't really want the slow play wide receiver. So we're going to get to play a good old-fashioned game of over-under, where we talk about what the averages are for different players at each position based on draft capital, and see, like, do we want that receiving yards or rushing yards or total yards over or under for these players? Because I think that's really important, is what I like to do, and I know what Ray likes to do, is that it's all about a mix of kind of all the research, all the tools we have out there, and that I'm bringing some data. Ray brings his film knowledge, his intuition. He's been doing this longer than I have, and that together, hopefully, we're going to crack the code, and maybe we'll revisit this after the season, see how many we got right. So I'm pretty hyped for this.
Yeah, I'm listening to that, and once you said that, and you're like Ray brings his intuition, all I could think is, please don't follow that advice. Please use something other than Ray's intuition, for these players. But nah, man, I'm excited to dive into this as we were, you know, putting the show sheet together and doing some research. I've got some interesting burning questions that I have to ask you because I'm titling you, Larky. You are on a mission to single-handedly drive down the price of one Kenneth Walker, and a lot of people thank you for your quest. But based on some of this data, I'm going to ask you, should we be doing that? So I'm excited to dive into it, man, because I got some questions that the people want answered, and we're gonna fucking get to the bottom of it tonight.
We are indeed. So I'm pretty excited for this. What we're going to do, let's start off with running backs. So we're going to look at 2011 onward, and I'm just going to present some research to you. And wow, as I am looking, it looks like my round two running back research is a little skewed. If we look, we have too many players in the query. We're going to do some live coding because I think you probably see it too as you're looking at it. Something is up.
So let me set the stage as Larky fixes this. So we're going to talk about where are these rookie running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. We're not going to talk about the quarterbacks tonight. How these players score and what we should expect from players drafted in said rounds. Now, you know, I'm watching these rookie drafts take place. Watching them take place, and I'm seeing players like a Damian Pierce sneak into the first round of rookie drafts. I'm seeing these fourth round running backs. I'm seeing Justin Ross, an undrafted free agent wide receiver. As much as we like that freshman production, we're seeing Justin Ross slide into the back of the second, third round of rookie drafts. And it's time to just put some hard concrete data on where we should expect these players to sort of produce in year one. And we're going to look at a subset of 2011 onward and then the last 5 years from 2017 to the current date. So, again, Larky, you're going to have to answer some things once we get to these running backs. So I think you got it together now. Go ahead and let us know what you've kind of uncovered over here.
Sounds good. Yeah, all of a sudden I looked and I was like, damn, I do not believe we've had 153 running backs taken in round two since 2011. Mm. So you know what, we fixed the little code, so it's all back. So I'm just going to run through some numbers pretty quickly, just a couple high-level ones. So I just looked at 2011 onward, so for running backs drafted in round one, what are the averages? So on average, these guys play about 14 games. They're giving you 1,173 total yards, 200 PPR points, that's 14.5 a game. If you want the rush attempts, it's 205 on average. And let's see, targets, 48 targets on average, 36 catches. So, I mean, those sound like pretty good numbers. Round two running backs on average, since this is now where we're actually getting to some players that were drafted. We didn't have any round one running backs drafted, but we do have some round two running backs drafted. So these guys on average, they're playing about 11 games as a rookie. They're giving you 713 total yards. So that's a pretty big drop in terms of round two rookie production. They're giving you about 10 PPR points a game, just under, about 9.9. So we'll call it 10. So basically, if you have a round two running back from 2011 onward, you should expect 10 fantasy points a game without asking any more questions. But I think the important question to ask is, what about the guys that are playing more games? So if we only look at guys playing 12 or more games, just to take out the absolutely terrible players. So this would remove someone like a Trey Sermon, who I don't even think he played how many games did he play? Like five?
Yeah, counted? Not many.
I don't know.
Not so many.
So if we just look at 12 or more games to get rid of the catastrophic busts and the injuries, and it's like based on guys playing, then the average round two running back gives you 750 total yards and still about 9.5 PPR points a game. So the yardage goes up, games played goes up, but the actual fantasy points don't do a whole lot. So we have three round two running backs in this class. I think we should play a little over under with Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, and James Cook with this 750 total yards.
Well, Breece Hall. You said 700 and what's the total here, Larky? 700 and what? 50?
So if he plays 12 or more games, it's 750. But I think, you know what? We'll use the conservative ones. We'll say that this is just, there could be, let's assume no injuries. We'll use the bigger number. So 750 total yards for Breece Hall. Are we over or under that for his rookie year?
I got to say over, man. 750 with this extended, playing the amount of games, Michael Carter back there. I think it's a smash over for Breece Hall over 750, man. If he's less than that, would that not be disappointing?
Yeah, I'd be highly disappointed. I think he's a kind of a lock, assuming that he's healthy enough to go over that number. So,
yes,
100%. I'm with you there. All right, Kenneth Walker. The guy, as you said, that I absolutely just despise in fantasy football.
Yeah.
We're going over 750 or under 750?
Larky, I think 750 is a good number for him. But for this, I think I'm going to say under 750 for Kenneth Walker in year one. And just to throw this out there, I'm looking at the futures that Prize Picks has up right now, and they've got Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker on the board. They've got Kenneth Walker's rushing yards at 550 and a half.
Yeah, so I this is probably going to surprise some people. I think I'm taking the over on 750. I actually, speaking of Prize Picks, promo code FTN can get you a nice little 100% deposit match up to $100 if you're a new user. I actually took the Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker overs on Prize Picks futures. So, yeah, I thought they were pretty low. Pretty conservative.
Yeah, they're quite low. 550, I'm going over that. 750 with not knowing. Like, I don't think Rashad Penny's just going to be relegated to dust. I don't believe that's going to happen. It seems like a backfield destined for... But last year, we saw the Broncos running backfield both have 900 yards apiece. Do I think Penny and Walker can do that? I don't, not this year. And it's not so much of, for me, it's not so much of an indictment against Kenneth Walker. I'm just not believing in Seattle's offense at all. And I think it's going to be hard for either of those running backs to find lanes. So if you're asking me today, I'd probably take the under 750 on Kenneth Walker. But if you're giving me 200 points worth of value and the number set at 550, I'll take the over on that.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty smart hedge. So one thing I just posted, just coded it up. So if we look at 2017 onward to the last 5 years for running backs, the numbers do go up a little bit for round two running backs to 788. And I think that's actually kind of like my pressure point, because 750, I was pretty much like, yeah, I think Kenneth Walker can go over 750. For some reason, I saw 788 and I was like, So you know what? I think I'm sticking with the 750 over, but I think it's close. So I think you could potentially talk me into taking that under as well. So yeah, I think he's probably a borderline one. So yeah, I think Breece Hall definitely going to buck that trend, be over the average. I think Kenneth Walker, that's actually, I think you said it perfectly. That is a good number around 750 for him. And then James Cook, what are we doing with a guy that neither of us thought was should have gone round two, maybe probably should have gone on day three, honestly, in round four.
No. There's no way he's getting 750 yards. Absolutely not. I mean, did you hear what the GM or whomever the hell he was from Buffalo said about Kenneth Walker? I mean, James Cook in his press conference. Did you hear it?
I remember the quote. It was something about how he's going to be, he's a receiving back, splits out wide.
He said, well, first he starts off by saying we view him as a good sub back, that if we decide to give him some extra carries, I think he can handle the work, but we're going to use him in the receiving game. I mean, he literally called him a sub. We think he's a good sub back who, if we decide to give him a couple of carries, we think he can handle the work with a couple of carries as the sub back to Devin Singletary. Hell no, he's not getting 750 rushing yards. No.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under. So I just quickly pulled up a couple guys because I was like, how about James White, J.D. McKissic? So James White only has two seasons above 750 total yards. James White, just two. J.D. McKissic just has one. There's just not a lot of precedent for these satellite. I don't even know if I want to call him a satellite plus back, just a satellite back. K- Kenny Gainwell had a pretty damn good rookie year. Only 544. It is tough for these satellite backs. And also, I think Gainwell was getting more carries than James in a few games than James Cook might get. So, yeah, I think, all right, so far we're pretty much in agreement. We actually flip-flopped kind of backwards on Walker, since I'm not a big fan of Walker in Dynasty, but I'll give
it. I'm back and back. I think 750. I mean, thinking about shit, Gainwell had 5-something. Yeah, Walker go over 750. I changed my answer. It's what happens when you're one of the co-hosts. You can change your answer. I change it over Kenneth Walker, 750.
All right, folks, if you're playing at home, we have overs on Hall and Walker for 750 and the under for James Cook at 750. Let's move on to round three. So round three running backs. Let's just look. We'll look the last 5 years. So these running backs, round three, they average 600 yards as a rookie and just over 8 fantasy points a game. So that's not bad. You're going to have a couple hits. Like Gibson, I think he was a borderline top 12, top 15 running back as a rookie, but we also get some of the Keyshawn Vaughns thrown in there. It's kind of a mixed bag here. So if I'm looking, the non-injured round three running backs from the last 5 years actually get you just over 1,000 yards as a rookie, but that's pretty optimistic. We're not going to assume that these guys are just constantly seeing the field for 12 more games once we hit round three. So we're going to stick with 598 total yards, 8 PPR points a game. This isn't sexy. And there's three names here. So first, we got Rashad White. He's on the Buccaneers behind Leonard Fournette. What are you thinking with Rashad White?
What's the number?
598
total yards. I'll take the over, Rashad White. 598 total yards. I'll take the over.
I think I will take the over as well.
Ooh, there we go. All right.
My thought process is that Fournette hasn't really ever had a fully healthy rookie year. So White's probably going to start a couple games. And I think he's a good enough pass catcher. He had almost 500 receiving yards this past year. I think he's actually, so I've been targeting him like in best ball. I'm sure in redraft, I'm going to want him as kind of a nice handcuff to Fournette in terms of what I expect for his fantasy value. It's basically if Fournette goes down, I think Rashad White is a top 5 running back and that he's going to be like the hottest waiver wire out of the week if Fournette ever goes down. So I think he's going to be, I think he probably has the Kenny Gainwell rookie year, honestly. Except he doesn't have the risk that Gainwell did towards the end of the year where he was just getting phased out for Boston Scott and Jordan Howard. Like the first half of Kenny Gainwell's rookie year. I think Rashad White has that for the entire rookie season. So, yeah, I like the over there. Do you have anything to add for why you like that Rashad White over?
Yeah, I think he is going to play. Right, I think there's no doubt Leonard Fournette's going to be the guy, and as long as he's healthy and he's on the field, I think he's going to be the guy. But you know, there were times where I believed, you know, you watch Tampa Bay and you could see that they would have loved to have a back spell Leonard Fournette at times, and they just had no confidence in Ronald Jones. And up until Leonard Fournette was injured and Keyshawn Vaughn was thrust into that game versus the Jets, there was no need to really play him. So, you know, every team needs two running backs now. They drafted Rashad White in round three. I think he's going to have some opportunity. I think people need to temper expectations. I mean, 550 all-purpose yards, total yards, isn't good for fantasy, right? You're not, like, excited about that. But I think he's going to get an opportunity to get on the field and play.
Yeah, I think so. So have you come around a little bit to him? Because I feel like last time we talked, your fear was just, when we talked pre-draft, was that he was going to go round 5, which was kind of my fear as well. I was probably a little overconfident that he could sneak into round 3 based on, compared to what the mocks were saying. He did sneak in round 3, so good for White. He got that good enough draft capital.
Yep, he got in there, so you got to roll with it, man. I'm happy, and it's a decent spot, right?
Yeah, at least for this year. I know people are a little worried about what happens with Brady, but, I mean, are we really trying to play years out in the future with a round 3 running back in Dynasty? No. I think you just say, hey, let's look at this season, and, I mean, it's not even like Brady's guaranteed to retire after this year. He could play 2 years for all we know. So, yeah, I think White's in a good spot.
Yep, so, 100%.
Next, the San Francisco running back. They took a mulligan on Trey Sermon. They drafted another round three running back. We got Tyrion Davis Price, TDP. Over under 598.
Oh, man. They rotate backs. I mean, that's what San Francisco does. Elijah Mitchell banged up quite early in his career. They drafted TDP in the third. I like the skill set. He's a banger. He's a grinder. He's not going to be used in, you know, third down situations, but I think he's going to play, and I think he's going to play a lot more than people are anticipating. So I like the over on TDP. He's going to play, man. I mean, all he's got to do is beat out Jeff Wilson, and he's getting on the field.
So one thing I like about TDP, his rookie draft ADP has been pretty low. So yeah. I have him as kind of like a towards the end of the second round, I think you should be taking him. And I thought I might be low on him. I have him. So I'm in five FFPC dynasty leagues. And he's at like player 80 in the queue for their default presets. I don't know why he's at like player 80. I have him in all five of those leagues after the rookie drafts because I'm just scooping him in round three and round four. And I'm like, I think this is a Trey Sermon overcorrection. Maybe it's because for some reason they gave him like player 80 in the default queue by accident. Whatever it is, I am now a TDP truther where I'm like, oh, give me the guy that's basically just like Trey. You loved Trey Sermon last year. Everyone wanted Trey Sermon at the end of the first round. TDP, no love. With that being said, I will take the under, though, on 598. My concern is that San Francisco does rotate backs, so we don't know how much he's going to play in year one. I think he's probably got a couple good games in him. Maybe he does more, but I think there's the injury likelihood as well where I know I said earlier I'm trying not to assume injury, but I mean the Niners running back, the history of this guy is just they are constantly getting injured. I think a lot of that's the scheme where it's like, hey, sprint and make one cut and you're going to have pretty violent collisions when you run. So I think he was a pretty bad prospect. I'm basically just humping the landing spot at this point and the draft capital. I'm going to take the under on him.
All right. You know, you look at what they did last year running the ball. I mean, it was 207 from Mitchell, and then Jeff Wilson had his 79 carries in nine games for almost 300 yards. And then it was Deebo Samuel with 59 for 365. And if Deebo truly doesn't want to be utilized as much in that role again this upcoming season, I think you might see them sort of, I don't want to say stick to a two-back backfield, but man, none of these guys back here are anything special. None of these guys seem like they're locked and loaded, going to be the guy week to week. I think he's got a good shot, man. I really do. I'm in on TDP. I'm confident with that over on TDP.
All right, I like it. We have our first disagreement. It was almost Kenneth Walker. It is now officially TDP. So I'm looking at the rush attempts. So just the average round three running back gets 98 rush attempts as a rookie. If we want to look at 12 or more games played, that goes up to 162. Ugh, I think he's probably in between 98 and 162. Like I was thinking like 120 rushes. So if he has like 120, I'm trying to do the math in my head. I might talk myself into the 598. So I'm going to stop doing the math. I'm sticking with the under, but I think it's close.
Yeah, I'm under on this one. I'm trying to think of what would need to happen for him to hit the over, Larky. Clearly an injury, right?
Yeah, I think for TDP to hit the over, we need Mitchell to get injured for four or more games, probably. And
wait, hold on. I said the over, right? I'm on the under on this one, man. Don't try to fucking mind twist me with these numbers. I'm looking at these numbers. I'm in on the. I don't think it. Here's the thing, Josh. I don't like dynastying with injuries like in my process, right? Like you could say that about any player anytime. Everyone could get injured. The great tank of Derrick Henry, like a pinky toe is what took him out, right? I don't know if it was his pinky toe, but we know it was a toe.
There was a toe.
There was a toe a pinky toe makes the story just sound better, right? A pinky toe takes down the tank. I don't like the dynasty thinking like injury. I guess what I'm looking at is, if they are going to roll out a young quarterback like Trey Lance, whose skill, like his most comfortable skill set right now, is using his legs, this we could see this be look a lot like the Baltimore Ravens offense looked a couple of years ago, where they're, you know, Gus Edwards is effective, you know, another running back, and you've got Lamar Jackson, aka the Trey Lance here. I think they're going to have to use multiple backs. I'm not at the point now where I think Kyle Shanahan wants to drop Trey Lance back 35, 40 times a game and say go win it with your arm. That's why they did spend a third round pick on a running back. So I closed the show sheet. I'm sticking with the over for TDP. You go ahead and tell us why it's the under. I'm sticking with the damn over.
All right, we'll move on. I feel like my entire TDP take is just 49ers running back base. So this is not very good analysis. We're just going to move on to the next guy. But TDP, I'll take the under. Ray's got the over. But I think it's close. So the next one is Brian Robinson. He is on the Washington Commanders. Where are you at with Brian Robinson? He was Alabama's 2021 bell cow as a fifth-year super senior.
I mean, let Twitter tell you he should be in 4,000 yards. Antonio Gibson is useless now that Brian Robinson is in town. This is one where they have J.D. McKissic, so he's not going to be the guy that's on the field just in two-minute situations. He may get some receptions. He's going to get some work. He's going to spell Antonio Gibson, but I don't think there's a pathway to massive opportunity if all three of those running backs walk into the season healthy, right? Of course, if Gibson goes down or J.D. McKissic gets hurt, that's increased opportunity for everyone there. But I think as we stand today, with them bringing back J.D. McKissic, with Antonio Gibson being there, I don't envision Brian Robinson going over that total. No.
Yeah, I think he's under as well. So where are you at with Gibson for redraft? Because this is technically a redraft show. I've been very hard on Gibson since the Brian Robinson pick. My take was that this mythological CMC role they wanted to give him seems kind of like noise when they re-signed J.D. McKissic to play third downs. And then, I mean, I do think Gibson is better than Brian Robinson. Gibson has been a good NFL running back, but it's really hard for me to see a fantasy ceiling for Gibson when Brian Robinson's going to do something on first or second downs occasionally. He's a big back. Maybe he gets some goal line work. And suddenly I look at Gibson and I'm like, to me at least, it feels like he's almost two injuries away from being a league winner. And I don't like when I need not one but two injuries where we need both McKissic and Robinson to go down for Gibson to get the receiving usage that he was getting and the overall carries usage that he got at the end of last year. So I'm kind of out on Gibson because I feel like he's still going, from what I've seen, like round three, round four. That's just too early for me with the Brian Robinson signing.
Yeah, a lot of people echo your sentiments, man. There's a lot of panic and fear out there right now surrounding Antonio Gibson and what his upside can be. I'll tell you right now, bringing back J.D. McKissic was not good for Antonio Gibson. I don't care how you slice it. And let's not forget, he had a chance to leave. He was, you know, technically the reports where he was signing with Buffalo. And then Washington's like, no, come back. We need you. Get back here. Or something to that nature. You know, Brian Robinson being there, I don't think he just usurps Antonio Gibson. But I do think he's going to be that annoying fantasy player this year, where every time you look up, Gibson rips off a long run or something and gets it close, and you're like, why the hell is Brian Robinson in? And they just have him in. And you're just like, B-Rob steals another touchdown. Who was it a couple of years ago that just kept vulturing touchdowns? You know, like Jamal Williams. They bring him in at the worst time. You're like, why the hell is Jamal Williams on the field? I feel like he's going to be like the new Jamal Williams. Just every time you look up at the most inopportune moments, here's Brian Robinson. And he's just taking all the valuable work, and it's just going to piss off Gibson owners. So to answer your question, I'm a little skeptical and hesitant on AG, especially given his price tag right now in redraft.
Yeah, I feel like Robinson's going to give you like 400, 450 yards as a rookie. And that might not sound like much, but if you're just kind of subtracting that from Gibson and you're just losing 20, 30, 40 yards each game, those are valuable fantasy points. There's going to be some red zone work there. And right when you were like that annoying player, you know who I thought of? Do you remember 2 years ago when there was like a three-game stretch where Benny Snell was getting goal line work over James Conner?
Yeah.
That was the first name I thought of when you were like, what's the most annoying one? That one to me, I was just like, are you kidding me? Fucking Benny Snell is getting these goal line carries. And then like just as soon as I noticed it, it was poof, James Conner goal line back again.
Yeah. Then he was back. Here's the better line. Brian Robinson over under 5.5 touchdowns this year.
Oh, that is a good one. I'll just go under because I don't trust Carson Wentz, but...
Okay.
How about you? That is a good line because I wasn't...
Let's just say this. If he goes over, even if he just barely crests the over and takes 6 away from Gibson, that's not good. It's just, again, not good. That annoying player that you look up and he's got 5 or 6 rushing touchdowns and 1 receiving touchdown at the end of the season with 452 yards.
Ugh. God, I could see. I mean, he's 230 pounds.
Yeah.
The guy's big. I think he had like 20 touchdowns or something like that at Alabama this past year. So, yeah, he's exactly the skill set of like, there's like Mr. Steal Your Girl. And then there's Mr. Steal Your Touchdown. I think that could very well be Brian Robinson.
Yeah. Mr. Steal Your Touchdown. I love it.
All right. Let's move through these a little faster because... They're round 4 running backs, but I thought there were a few interesting ones. So we got Damian Pierce with the Texans. So round 4 running backs, we'll just stick with the last 5 years. So these round 4 running backs, just looking at healthy, not healthy, 435 total yards. If you only want the healthy ones or the guys that are playing 12 or more games, it goes up from 435 to 559. So about 560 total yards. And we're looking at, for the healthy ones, we're looking at 99 rush attempts. So it'd be like 99 rush attempts and 24 receptions, 560 yards, 7 PPR points a game. Where are we at with Damian Pierce? We got 559 total yards.
559 total. Mack, Burkhead, Pierce.
So already you not having a definitive answer. This is gonna, like, I've seen him go round 1 rookie drafts. There's people trembling right now hearing that you're not immediately answering smash the over.
Yeah, I don't think he walks into like the starter role. Like, I don't think that's gonna happen. I think that's gonna be Marlon Mack. And Rex Burkhead, like it or not, he's another one of those annoying ass fantasy players. It's just always on the field. It's just always on the field. If I had to pick one, Larky, I would say over, but I don't feel good about it, man.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go over to, not that I love, I mean, you know that I'm not a big Damian Pierce guy, but I think that I would say compared to the average round 4 running back, there's probably more opportunity immediately. I think Marlon Mack, Rex Burkhead, that is a, as we know, that's a well below average running back room. So even though I don't think Pierce was the best prospect, I think compared to the average round 4 running back, he's in a good situation for year 1. So I'm with you. But I don't think he gets much over this 560.
Yeah.
Zamir White on the Raiders.
I'm going under. Josh Jacobs is still there. I'm going under.
Yeah, I think he's a year 2 and onward play. I think he's just a straight-up handcuff, and I don't think he's going to see the field much at all unless Jacobs gets hurt. Isaiah Spiller, he's probably more interesting. So Isaiah Spiller is on the Chargers. Where are you at with him? 559.
I would say the over, but it with him, it's probably going to be mainly on the ground. I don't know how involved he'll be through the air. Why would you? He can do it, but why utilize him in that aspect when you have Austin Ekeler, who's one of the best receiving backs in the NFL? So you're banking on Spiller to get you probably 500 rushing yards, which I think he's more than capable of if he wins that RB2 role and then picking up another 100 receiving yards on the season. Yeah, if Ekeler sits, yeah, I think I'd take the over on Spiller on that one.
Yeah, I would as well. So I just quickly pulled up Justin Jackson. I mean, he had that one monster game, but he was kind of a backup the rest of the year. He had 542 scrimmage yards. And yeah. I think Spiller's better than Justin Jackson. So I'm going to go over as well. He had a pretty good profile. 3-year starter at a good college, Texas A&M. So yeah, I'll go the over. It's a good offense. There's going to be yards to be had. So over on that one. Pure Strong. The Patriots under, took him round
under,
four.
Under.
I have nothing more to add. Yeah, I think that's under. One of the easiest smash unders. Yeah. There's way too many running backs there. Is there any Patriots running back that you want for fantasy football? Since right now, I don't think I'm not confidently drafting any of them. I'm doing some early best ball drafts on Underdog. I rarely am pulling the trigger on any Pats running back.
Yeah, it's getting worse. It's getting grosser and grosser by the day, man. I want to say Ramondre. I want to say in certain spots Damian Harris, but I think this is just going to – you're going to look up and there's going to be two or three backs with 600 yards on the ground this season. It's just going to be terrible.
Yeah, it's one thing like if you told me that there were two different Alexander Madisons on the Vikings, or three different or whatever, I'd be like, all right, let me consider drafting them because we know that whoever backs up Dalvin Cook basically just plays the Dalvin Cook role if he gets injured. And I know Ramondre had a couple big games last year, but I feel like drafting Pierre Strong round four and Kevin Harris round six or seven, whenever it was, they're kind of signaling, and they get James White back. I do not think they want a bell cow at any point this year, any game ever. So, yeah, easy under.
Yeah.
Hassan Haskins. Sneaky round four guy, went to the Titans. Over under.
Under. I mean, this is truly, you need a Derrick Henry injury. Like, outside of that, he's not going to get enough work to surpass that number. He's not a primary receiving back either. I mean, that I don't know who they have that's going to catch the ball, but Derrick Henry's not coming off the field if he's healthy.
Yeah, I don't think he has any standalone value if Henry's healthy. And my concern is I'm not 100% confident in, because we're early May, that if Henry gets injured in season, that Haskins gets the work. Like, I don't know if Haskins is going to be Deonta Foreman or if Haskins is going to be like, I don't know, Adrian Peterson or whatever, where they give him like 10 carries a couple times ago. Nah, this isn't really the guy we want taking our carries. So, yeah I don't think he's quite insulated enough. The profile is pretty bad. We'll go under.
Yeah.
Anyone else that you want to mention after round four? Do we have the round six Elijah Mitchell this year? I have no other names that I think are relevant for redraft. I think it'll just be like whoever gets injured, that's the waiver wire pickup.
Correct. Correct.
All right. We're going to move on now to tight ends. And as we're doing it, I have to fix something again. So I figured out why my round two guys were a little off in the above graphic and I had to recode them.
Okay.
Apparently, I am adding the undrafted players into round two by accident. So I fixed my code. We're putting the proper tight ends back into the show sheet.
There we go. So there we go. There we go.
So we're going to have the actual correct tight ends now. So that is why these round twos looked a little off to you. Maybe they didn't. They looked fine to me initially, and then all of a sudden I looked closer and I was like, damn, there's a lot of players getting drafted round two. So
there we go. I see the updates in real time here. I see them.
The updates are in real time.
Yeah, real time updates.
So this is 2011 onward. We're just looking at tight ends, and I mean, it's bleak. I think we can make this really quick. If you're drafted in round one, you average 7 points a game. If we only look at the guys playing 12 or more games, you get boosted all the way up to 8. This does not seem sexy. I think it's just Kyle Pitts. He's probably holding the fort down there. Round two, we actually have players drafted round two this year. It's 251 total yards for these round two tight ends. They're giving you 5 fantasy points a game. If we only look at the super healthy ones, that jumps way up from 251 to 315 and 6 fantasy points a game. We're going to use that number. So we got some round two tight ends. We're looking at 45 targets, 30 catches, 315 total yards, and 3 touchdowns, 6 fantasy points a game. Trey McBride.
Yeah, draft him early. Keep taking him high. Trey McBride is going to be the next great tight end. No. What's the number? What's the threshold you're setting it at for me to go over under?
So we're going to use the 315.
Oh, that's so low. Yes, he should go over 315. He should, right? 315? Yeah, he'll go over 315. Trey McBride will go over 315, but I still don't want him. I don't know how much higher over that he's going to go, but he'll go over 315.
Yeah, I feel very confident intuitively he's going to go over that. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, roughly half these guys are going to go under that based on history. Yeah, I'll take the over. I think it's a good offense. Zach Ertz is no sure thing with the injuries. And I also think that receiving core in Arizona is pretty bad.
Yep.
At least the first six games, we have no Hopkins. So yeah. I think they could potentially use more two tight end sets. I know it's not really a team that's done that before, but desperate times call for desperate measures. And their wide receiver two is going to be some combination of Rondale Moore and AJ Green those first six games. Rondale Moore, they just didn't like him as a rookie, so they phased out his usage. AJ Green is, he makes you sneeze. He's pretty dusty. So yeah, I think McBride gets just enough work during D-Hop suspension.
Agreed.
All right, let's look at the round three tight ends. The healthy and unhealthy ones, we're looking at 13 catches for 160 receiving yards. God. But we're going to only look at the healthy ones, / the guys that are good enough to get on the field, which is might be the wrong way to do it. So I'll list that, and then we can decide which number we want to use. So if we look at the guys playing 12 or more games, so this is not only assuming health, but assuming they're good enough to actually play 12 games, it boosts way up to 21 catches for 271 yards receiving. Which number do you want to use? Do you want to use that like the 270 receiving yards or the 160? I mean, I don't know if these guys are seeing the field.
160, I'll say yes. I mean, they'll do something. 160, they'll go over that. 270?
Yes, we got Jelani Woods on the Colts.
Greg Dulcich on the Broncos, right?
Yeah, and then Rucker. Was Rucker on the Jets?
Jeremy Rucker's on the Jets. He's on the Jets. No, just he's not terrible, going over 270. He's not going over 270. No.
Yeah, I don't even know if Ruckert is going over 160, honestly. They've got Uzama. They've got Conklin. It's also a Zach Wilson offense. I think Ruckert, I'm just going to go under on both. I don't even know if he sees the field outside of situational.
Yeah. Ruckert's a taxi squad play, man. I mean, if anybody's expecting or anticipating or budgeting for any type of points from him this year, you're doing it wrong, man. I'm going under.
Yeah, all right. Jelani Woods, where are you at? I think I'm going to go... Oh, that's tough. I'm definitely going under 271 for him just because... Oh, Ali Cox is there. Kylan Granson's there. So I'm not quite sure where he is in that pecking order. It's kind of like the Jets. There's already two dudes that I think can do something.
Right.
I'll give him between 160 and 271 for Jelani Woods.
Yeah, I'm with that. That's what I was going to say. He's going to go over 170. Is he going to go over 160, 170. Is he going to go 100 more yards than that? Well, Matt Ryan, man, that is a good quarterback. It is a good quarterback. So all he's got to do is show some sort of athleticism. I'm going to go outlier here, and I'm not even the biggest Jelani Woods fan. I think he goes over that 270 mark. I think I'm going to take the over on him. I'm not saying he's going 500-600 yards, but I think he goes over 270. He does just enough to where he's going to be overdrafted going into next football season.
I love it. So what do you think about him for Dynasty? Like, what's the upside case? He is, according to the relative athletic score, RAS, the most athletic tight end of the past, like, 20 years. I mean, I like that in the sense that I know these breakout tight ends are generally athletic, but... I mean, the college production wasn't great. You don't seem to be a huge believer.
No.
Where are you at with him since?
Yeah. He didn't play that fast, man. I don't care what his underwear Olympics time says. He doesn't play that fast. You know, you watch him at Virginia. He hardly jumped. Most people barely knew his name up until the time he ran at the combine. I mean, he's big. He doesn't play that fast. I'm just not buying it. I need to see it. I think he does go over 270, but... long term, I think he's just a project tight end, man.
So if he goes over 270, his dynasty value increases. So you would say that if in this scenario, probably sell. If there's any kind of flash,
100%.
I mean, if you can call 270 a flash,
yeah.
Like, yep. I think, I don't know. That's something.
Yep. I would do it in a heartbeat, man.
All right. I think we should move on to a more fun position.
Yeah, that was depressing. That was depressing. That was just, God, that was bad. Yeah, let's go to wide out. Come on, man.
And I feel like that also demonstrates kind of what we've been saying, where I feel like intuitively we were both kind of like, you just should not be spending, outside of like Kyle Pitts, when it's like, this is someone that is a legitimate weapon from day one. You should not spend premium draft capital in your rookie drafts on tight ends. And I think in general, like redraft, best ball, rookie tight ends are not necessarily the best targets to have, even where you're probably not getting much. Like I feel like I would rather take, like if I'm taking a late round, like a super, super late round tight end in fantasy football, I feel like I'm still just going to defer to a veteran. Like I would rather take Mo Alie-Cox than Jelani Woods. I think Cox can, like, he could get you 500 yards. Jelani Woods, I don't know. Probably not going to get you 500.
I'm not saying it. Yeah.
All right. So receivers, I'll mention 2011 onward. And then I think we should just stick with the trend of the last 5 years, because I think offenses have changed a decent amount the last 5 years. Receivers are acclimating a little bit better to the NFL. So you know what? We're just going to skip right to the last 5 years for receiver. I don't want to hit people with too many numbers. So round one receivers, there were six of them in this draft. If we look at the healthy ones, the not healthy ones, just anyone drafted in round one, doesn't matter how many games they played. What we're looking at is 74 targets. It's not bad. 47 catches, 624 receiving yards, just under four touchdowns. And if you factor in that some of them rush a little bit, that's 652 total yards. We're looking at about 650 yards for a round one receiver and 10 fantasy points a game. I don't know. That's not that exciting, actually. You kind of think it would be a little more. This is only the last 5 years. We've got Chase and Jefferson in the sample. It's not great.
This is scary. This is for all these top five wide receivers that we're drafting. If we're walking away with that amount of points per game, this is not. This doesn't excite me, Larky. This doesn't excite me at all.
Yeah, I think there might be this misconception that the rookie, it's like, oh, I need the rookie this year. And I think, like, yeah, you can get that nice range of outcomes. And I think more like best ball redraft, the rookies can be interesting in year one. If you want to just, like, if you're in a tournament, if you're in one of these best ball tournaments on Underdog, or if you're in some redraft tournament, like if you're on, like, I don't know, like you do the FFPC football guys tournament, or like one of these kind of tournaments out there, then yeah, like the rookie wide receivers, maybe you strike gold with a Jefferson or a Chase. But I think in Dynasty, if you're a contender, I don't think you should expect to start these guys.
Yeah.
And then if we look at the healthy ones, I mean, it goes up quite a bit. So I think it's probably a combination of there's some injuries, but also I think some guys just straight up don't see the field. I mean, we see a lot of guys with draft capital. They barely play as a rookie. So if we look at the guys that entered 12 or more games, that number does shoot up to 95 targets, 61 catches, 854 receiving yards, almost six touchdowns, and about 13 fantasy points a game. That sounds a lot better to me. That if you get a healthy receiver, that gets me out of bed in the morning, the 13 fantasy points a game. So which one do you want to use? Should we use 650 total yards or 890 for the over?
Man, nobody wants to hear 650, man. Go 890, baby. Let's go. 890.
All right, we're going bold. 890. Let's start off. We'll just go in the order they were drafted. Drake London, he's on the Falcons. 890.
Over.
Wow, that's bold. That's a lot of yards for a rookie. Oh.
Do you want me to respond?
I was going to say, what's his? Give me his Prize Picks future. I want to hear. I need another source of info.
Okay, all right. The Prize Picks future for Drake London.
I'm stuck on this one. My mouth was just hanging open. That's a good number.
It's 775.
Oh, man. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence now to take the over. But he's in a very good spot.
They're going to be, oh, well. It's a
Sell
bad
me
team.
On the over. Sell me on the over.
Bad team, nobody else on the offense, target consolidation. I know we said we rarely see two players command 50% of the targets. Well, if they're not getting 50%, I think is 40% between Pitts and London a realistic possibility? Bad team, target consolidation, number top 10 overall pick. Just throw it up. Just fucking throw it up. All right, 890. Yeah, that is high. That is high. I'm taking over 775. I'm taking the over the prize picks line and under the Josh Larkey line. I don't like how aggressive these Larkey lines are. Larkey lines are brutal.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the under 890. I think that's probably inflated because of Jefferson and Chase.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's bad stats to just take out the two best players. But I think if we took out Jefferson and Chase, that number would drop a decent amount. For London with what's going to be, I think, still a run-heavy offense and Mariota or Ridder. Yeah, I'll take over on the prize picks of, what was it, high 700s, and then under on the 890 average. All right, Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson is on the Jets.
Under.
Yeah, I don't know where he is in the pecking order. I think he'd be lucky to have the Elijah Moore rookie season in terms of what Moore's usage was at certain points. Yeah, I think Wilson's a good underplay. What's his prize picks? I might like the under on that one too, since I really do not like this year one spot with an unproven quarterback.
He's tied for fourth highest rookie receiving yards at 725. 725 and a half for Garrett Wilson.
Oh, I thought it'd be a little higher. Now I don't know. The prize picks lines are generally a little low, I've noticed, for these rookies, but
they are 725 and a half. What are you doing?
I will take the under. I'll take the under because there's still Elijah Moore there. There's still Corey Davis. I'm not sure if he does better than either as a rookie. And I think they're going to run the ball with Breece Hall. I'll go under still on Garrett Wilson. Okay. I think he is a long-term play in Dynasty. I don't think you should expect much from him year one. This is coming from someone who liked him. He was my pre-draft wide receiver one. Thought he was the safest pick based on draft capital and profile in many ways. I don't like the spot.
Yeah, I'm with you. Long-term play, I like it.
Chris Olave, he's on the Saints. They traded up for him. We're going over under 890.
Under. Prize picks, 725 and a half.
I'll take over on that.
Okay.
I saw that Michael Thomas, I don't know if it was a setback, but he apparently is still not fully healthy. I saw something going around Twitter.
I heard that too.
I don't even know what it is, but he's terrifying in Dynasty.
Yeah, I saw that too. Saw that as well.
All right, yeah, definitely the under on 890 though. I don't love Olave.
Yep.
And I think this kind of underscores so far, like, we're not just pounding these overs. This was a bad rookie class.
Yeah.
So, yep. Jameson Williams, I think he's probably an easy one to take the under on.
Yeah, he's under.
Going to be not healthy to start the season. Cool.
Correct.
Next is Jahan Dotson. He's on Washington.
Under 890? Yeah, I can't go over Jahan Dotson. I mean, he's the wide. I don't know what he is on that team, but I'm not taking the damn over on him. Year one, 890? No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't trust Carson Wentz. I don't trust Washington. Jahan Dotson, he was a fine prospect, but he was still a non-early declare small school wide receiver. He's also just small on top of the small school. I'll take the under. The last one, your guy, Treylon Burks. He's on the Titans.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under on Treylon. Shit, we're taking the under all of them. I don't think any of them hit 890. Now, he does have the most aggressive rookie receiving line on prize picks at 850 and a half. The highest total for any of the rookie wide receivers is Treylon Burks.
That is high. 850 on prize picks. 890 based on averages of the last 5 years. I'll give him the over.
Really?
Maybe that's silly.
Over
to give,
890.
To give a project wide receiver like that the over. I think he does have by a decent amount the best quarterback out of this group. I think Tannehill is a good quarterback. I know some people don't like him. Some people don't like that he's not trying to be the most outgoing teacher for Malik Willis. I honestly don't give a shit.
Yeah.
The quote was a little bit out of context. It wasn't even like, I hate the dude, I'm never going to train him. He was just like, honestly, it's not really my job to fully train him, but like, I'll give him the support he needs. And then everyone just ran with like, I'm not going to train him. Tannehill's a horrible person. He hates Malik Willis. The way I see it, Tannehill's a good NFL quarterback. A.J. Brown was the ceiling comp for Treylon Burks. They traded A.J. Brown and then took Burks. I think he's in a really good position. I'm not sure if Robert Woods is healthy for week one. After Woods is Nick Westbrook. Derrick Henry does not catch passes.
No.
Austin Hooper is not very good. I just don't know who's going to catch passes here. I view it kind of like the Atlanta situation with Pitts and London getting all the catches. Except, I think Tannehill is better. So, I'm going to go with the over on Burks. That's kind of my thought process, but that might be silly when I think London probably has the most NFL-ready skill set out of the two big guys in like prime target vacuum.
So are you going to ask me another receiver? Because I got somebody for your ass if you don't have anybody else for me. You got somebody else you want to talk about?
So I was going to say we should take a couple of these round two guys and talk about them. Do you have someone that you want
to... No. Let's go to the round two guys because this is going to be interesting. Let's go.
I have no idea what's up your sleeve. Christian Watson, he is on the Packers. And if we're looking at round two receivers the past 5 years, the healthy and the unhealthy ones, just the straight up average, it's bad. It is 450 yards. And if we look only at the healthy ones, 12 or more games played, it's actually still bad. Even if we only look at healthy receivers, they're still only getting you in round two, 65 targets, 40 catches, 554 yards and 4 touchdowns receiving. That is low. If we factor in that some of these guys ran a little bit, they had some rushing yards, we boost it to 584 total yards. So 584 total yards if Watson's fully healthy, 450 if he's not. Those are pretty low numbers. Christian Watson.
Should go over that. Should go over that. That should be an over for Christian Watson. In Green Bay, Alan Lazard, Sammy Watkins, Amari Rodgers, as much as I think he's a project, as much as, you know, I don't think he is a one-for-one Devontae Adams replacement, that number is quite low. He should go over that total.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's kind of like the Treylon Burks one where it's like, maybe this is not the most polished NFL-ready receiver, but it's a very, very good situation with a competent quarterback. I don't think I think with where Rodgers is at in his career, with where the Packers are at with contention, I think Watson's a decent pick in redraft. And that I feel like a lot of his dynasty value is purely because I think he might do something in year one. And that can either inflate his value or just help you win in year one. But like he's someone that I actually really like in best ball. I don't know if I'm going to take a ton of him, I guess, in managed redraft leagues, just because I'm not sure when you're going to start him. But right. I think that for spike weeks, I think there's a good chance you get 3 or 4 20-point weeks out of Christian Watson this year.
I agree, and that's what he is. He's a big play threat, you know, down the field, pushing the ball. I think you're 100% right. I think we get 3 or 4 games where he catches a long pass, he turns up a screen play, takes it to the house. I believe that wholeheartedly, man. I'm with you.
Yeah, I'll take the over on this 584 total yards. Yeah. Wandale Robinson, he's on the Giants. He's my size. I'm not very big, but he was productive in college.
Yes, he was.
Took a lot of carries. He got a lot of receptions. He was. He played the Deebo Samuel role in college.
He did do it. He played the Deebo role, baby.
Where are you going with Wandale?
Man, I'm slightly in on Wandale. I would probably take the over on him, man. I don't believe in Kenny Golladay. They're probably going to get rid of Darius Slayton. Kadarius Toney, who knows what's going to happen with him. But the draft capital, I think he's going to play. He's a much different... The easy, lazy comp is Rondale Moore because they're both kind of smaller and you know, sort of did the same things in college, but I think they're two completely different players. And I'm like, the more this goes on, I'm like more and more in on Wan'Dale Robinson. So I'll take the over on this one.
He's an interesting one. I think if Kadarius Toney is on this team week one, I would take the under. But I do think they trade Kadarius Toney. Generally, you don't get these trade rumors with such a young receiver. I don't think it's just total smoke. I think they do want to trade him. I think it was a bad fit. It was a pretty bad round one pick by them to begin with. So I think assuming they trade Toney, yeah, I'll give Wan'Dale the overs. I think I think he can be a better, more versatile Toney where he can give you what Toney was giving you out of the slot, and he's probably going to take some carries out of the backfield. I mean, their second running back on the roster right now is Matt Breida. I think Breida has more carries than Wan'Dale, but like if they get rid of Toney, it wouldn't shock me if Wan'Dale and Breida both hover at like 50 to 60 carries for the season. So I'm going to pull up Wandale's stats quickly. I want to say he flirted with 100 carries at one point. Let me see. He had 88 carries as a freshman at Nebraska.
Yep.
I think that's impressive.
Yeah, I agree.
That's Debo.
Yeah. I like it. I like him. I'm taking the over, and I'm doing this prefacing it not with injury, but I don't think Tony's going to be there. So that's sort of where I'm at with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's one of my favorite late round picks on Underdog. You can get him in round 17. There's only 18 rounds. Second to last round, I think you just throw a dart at Wan'Dale because if Toney is traded, Wandale's shooting up 5, 6, 7, 8 rounds in ADP. I think you have to get him.
Yeah.
John Mechie.
Under. Under. Yeah. Not even healthy now. Yeah.
Nope. Not healthy. Yeah.
Under.
584. That's pretty high. Under. He has the ACL injury. Tyquan Thornton. He is on the Patriots.
Under. I like Thornton. I think he's, much like you talked about Christian Watson having a couple of boom weeks, I think Thornton is in line for one of those or two as well this year, but not consistent enough to hit that total.
So I know nothing about Thornton. He wasn't even on my radar. I didn't realize he was going to get day two draft capital. Is he going to be like a pure deep threat? Is no, he more of like a gadget guy? I truly know nothing about Thornton.
He's 6'3", 190-something pounds. Looks like DJ Chark, like from just a body perspective, not a gadget guy. And he's the first Baylor wide receiver to come from this Baylor offense that wasn't this Art Briles air raid spread and shred that gave us so many Baylor busts. I think he's all right, man, but not this year. He's a project down the line. I think maybe not this season, but maybe he does a couple of things this year to get us excited for 2023, but not much in 2022.
All right, I'm going to roll with the under. My new rule is if they weren't on my radar pre-draft, I'm going to take the under on them post-draft. So I think that'll be a good rule to live by. We'll go the under on Thornton. George Pickens, he goes to the Steelers. Pretty good prospect profile, pretty crowded room with a rookie quarterback. Where are you at on Pickens? 584.
Probably not this year, but if he gets close to that, I'd be real excited going into next football season. This is one of the ones where I'm not anticipating it this year and don't really care. As long as he's on the field and he shows you some flashes, he gets you 500, even if it's like 515, I think people are going to be excited. Year two of Kenny Pickett, you know, potentially no Claypool in the fold. I don't think he's going to hit it this year, but I don't really care. If he gets close to it, I'll be excited for him for next season.
So I pulled up Prize Picks, 650 and a half receiving yard. I think we should take – that's like one of those live picks where I'm going to pencil in that under. That feels really high.
It's very high. Very
650.
High.
650. Just very considering high. Rookie quarterback, a lot of good players there. I mean, he could finish behind five guys for target. Or four. He could be number five in targets behind Deontay, Claypool, Freiermuth, and Najee Harris. He could be number five.
Yep.
That might be the most likely, is that he's number five.
And again, that's just this year. Next year, I think we're going to be having singing a different tune. But this season as a rookie, I'm taking the under.
All right, next one. We've got Alec Pierce. He's on the Colts. I kind of like a Christian Watson in some ways. Like the big athletic guy who didn't give you the most production. Is he similar to Christian Watson on the field? Is he more of just a deep threat? Or is he more refined?
He's more refined. He's a little more refined. And this one, surprisingly, I think I like the over on Pierce in Indianapolis with Matt Ryan. I don't think he's as good of a prospect as some of the other guys, but I think with these lines, that the Larkey lines, the Larkey sports book, I think I'm going to take the over on Alec Pierce, man.
All right, so I'm looking at Pittman. I don't know why I'm looking at Pittman, because he didn't even play with Matt Ryan as a rookie, but he is a teammate, so maybe we'll look at Pittman. Pittman only had 529 total yards as a rookie, but he had the compartment syndrome. He missed three games. So 529, this is another second-round receiver with a better quarterback.
And who's the third wide receiver in Indy right now? Who else do they have there?
Paris Campbell and Ashton Doolin. It's kind of a bag of bones. I'll go over with you on Alec Pierce. I think he's a really good late round pick for both redraft and best ball, honestly. Just because of that opportunity where I don't even think he has to be that good to be second on the team in targets.
Yes. Yes.
It's not even like they don't even have a target hog tight end.
Well, that's what I mean. It's a bunch of Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines. And like, I think just as long as he's on the field, I think he'll 40 receiving yards per game his way, 30 receiving yards per game his way to that total. You know what I mean? Don't quote the math there, but you get what I'm saying. He'll just inch his
40
way
would
to,
get him there. Yeah.
There you go.
40 would get him there.
Shit, I could do this in my head, baby.
Yeah, so Pierce for me, I think he's more of a redraft play than a dynasty play. I don't love the profile. And I think if he went to the Steelers instead of Pickens, I would be smashing the under hard.
Yeah.
So I think for me, wasn't a player that I loved as a prospect, but I think this is a great year one situation. Like it wouldn't surprise me if, not that he would be doing Amon-Ra things, because that was pretty historic, but if he's like an Amon-Ra, where in terms of the final six games that every week you want to start Alec Pierce, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this guy. Sky Moore. Sky's the limit for Sky Moore. He's on the Chiefs. What are you thinking of this 584 if he stays healthy?
Well, no, this is all you. I thought I loved Sky Moore. You, my friend, because on the last episode, you said he's a sneaky dark horse candidate for 1,000 yards this year. So not only should you, yes, you did, go check the damn tape. Oh, a sneaky candidate for 1,000-yard season for Sky Moore. So you should be smashing this times two. And the prize pick line is the second highest receiving yard total for a rookie wide receiver, right behind Treylon Burks. It's not Drake London. It's not Garrett Wilson. It's not J-Mo. It's Sky Moore at 800.5 yards for Sky Moore. So Josh, lines maker Larkey, you tell us why you prefer the over or under on Sky Moore. And damn it, it better be the over.
It's the over. And it's pretty quick. My argument is half that I think Sky Moore is a good prospect because he was an early declare from a small school. He barely played as a sophomore because of COVID. Western Michigan, their games were shut down. So to play 2.5 seasons at a small school and then be an early declare, that's very impressive that he went second round. It's because he's a good prospect. And the Chiefs, I mean, I think there's a strong path to him being the number two in this offense pretty quickly. And I don't even think, I think Kelce for sure out targets him, but I don't think we could see the decline start with Kelce this year. He turns 33 in October. His target share was the lowest it had been in 6.5 or 7 years. This past season when it was 20%, he was usually like a 24-25% target share guy, drops to around 20. That's concerning. Kelce getting up there in age. Juju Smith-Schuster was number 4 on the team in targets through 4 healthy weeks before he got injured in week 5. He was out-targeted by Deontay Claypool and Najee Harris up to that point last year. Mecole Hardman is a gadget player. He stinks. And then we have Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who is a situational deep threat. Career high target share is 14% for MVS. He should best be deployed as a wide receiver 3 in an offense. And that leaves Sky Moore. And that's really the case for him, in my opinion, is that this is a good prospect tethered to Patrick Mahomes on a depth chart where nobody intimidates me. It would not shock me if he is just out-targeting Juju by week 2 or week 3. And I think he's going to out-target Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Mecole Hardman easily. And I think Kelce, maybe he declines a little more and he has an 18-19% target share. I don't know. Hill is gone, but I mean, the dude's turning 33. He is getting up there. He could get injured. I don't know. I just think there's so many paths for Sky Moore. So I'm smashing the 584, the 800 on Prize Picks. I can't in good conscience recommend that you smash the over when it's the second highest line and he's a rookie receiver, but I would probably still take the over on that line. I just think there's a lot of paths to him getting to 800 because of the offense that's pass heavy, because I just do not trust anyone after Travis Kelce in that offense for receivers. And it's not even like I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Ronald Jones is going to catch a lot of passes. There's going to be a lot of targets to go around, and I think he's good enough. So yeah, Sky Moore, still my dark horse candidate for 1,000 receiving yards, still my dark horse candidate to lead all the rookies in receiving yards this year.
So I've got one question for you, and this is going to be a great way to go out. We did this entire exercise, second round wide receivers, first round wide receivers, where they finish at, our over-under totals. Why on earth would we be drafting any of these wide receivers over a second round running back like Kenneth Walker, whom we both said 750 yards should be within the range of outcome for him, right? Why on earth would we draft any of these wide receivers that are going to give us 10, 11, 12 points per game? Why would we recommend those guys over one Kenneth Walker?
So is this dynasty redraft or you want me to go both?
I want you to give me both. I want both answers, damn it. Both.
So for dynasty, what concerns me? I made a TikTok about it a couple of days ago.
Yes, you did.
Jay Larkey TikToks. Check out the TikTok. So with Kenneth Walker, he is 211 pounds. That's not ideal size for a running back where you're hoping he gets a lot of carries. And if you look at the last 10 seasons, there have only been 6 running backs at that size or smaller to give you 250 carries in a season. Only 6. And the only one to do it more than twice was LeSean McCoy. So you're basically hoping for 1, maybe 2 seasons where Kenneth Walker gives you those precious 250 carries. He's not a pass catcher. He never had more than 6% of his team's receptions in college. So I don't think we can count on too much receiving. And the Seahawks, now we're switching over to, so that's dynasty. Just don't love it. I don't think there's a track record for sustained production with him at 211. Then if we switch to redraft, I think the Seahawks are a pretty clear bottom 10 offense. I averaged the fantasy points for all the running backs in the bottom 10 scoring offenses last year. They averaged 0.56 fantasy points a carry. That is not sexy. 250 carries. If he hits that magical number, which he probably won't, 250 times 0.56 is 140. Say he plays 16 games and that they rest him for one game or he misses one game because of COVID or an injury. That would be less than 9 fantasy points a game. And I don't think he gets a lot of receiving. So to me, he is just in such a big hole as a 211-pound non-pass catcher that I cannot recommend him in any format. To me, his ceiling is that he'd be an outlier. And I think he's really, really good at football. In real life, I mean, sure, this is the kind of running back that you want on your team in real NFL football. But I feel like he's not built for fantasy football, so I just can't do it. Kenneth Walker to me is just the quintessential better in real life than fantasy. And I'm not drafting him anywhere. Give me Sky Moore. There it is.
That was good. It's good. I wanted you to go out on that, man. I wanted you to go on that.
Thanks.
You got,
it felt good.
You got to touch on Sky Moore, and you got to twist the knife a little more into the Kenneth Walker truthers out there. Kenneth Walker 101, Kenneth Walker 102. There you go.
Yeah, I just can't do it. Where do you have him again? Were you 104, 103? I know you had him a little lower than 102 when we talked.
Yes, I have him at 103, but honestly, it's because just traditional rookie draft positional scarcity sentiments. But I really believe, man, in this draft, the more I talk about it with people, like there's one, in my opinion, clear-cut, locked and loaded elite fantasy asset, and that's Breece Hall. After that, I honestly can make a case forever, whatever the hell you want to do. I can make a trace for Treylon Burks at 102 and talk about, you know, A.J. Brown not being there. I can talk Drake London. I can talk myself into Kenny Pickett. I can talk myself into Walker. Like, I think after that, like, who cares? The reality is all these receivers that are going off of the board consecutively after Walker, it's just like 9 straight receivers. What, 2 of them might actually be like game changers, difference makers in fantasy. The other ones, you might get another 2 that are okay and maybe 1 that's just fine. And then the other ones are just going to be terrible. So fucking whatever one you like the most, take your swing. Just realize when you're walking to the plate, you're going up there to hit a home run. And if you strike out, you got to be fine with the consequences in this class. Like,
it's such a bad class.
Well, I was talking about it with some of my patrons, man. Like, I would never advocate for wide receiver over running back or quarterback in Superflex. But this year, like, I think you can make that case. And if you're going to play that game, this is the year to do it. Don't try it next year. Like, I don't care how good Kayshon Boutte is or Jackson Smith and Jigba. I'm not taking them over C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or Bijan Robinson or any of those other higher caliber running backs. Like, I won't. I don't care how good Smith and Jigba is. I'm not advocating for a receiver at 102 or a receiver Kayshon Boutte at 103. I want the running backs. I want those stud quarterbacks. But this year, man, fuck it. Just whoever you like, man. After Breece Hall, I can legitimately make an argument for like 5 guys.
Mm-hmm. All right, question for you before we go. So we didn't get to him on the main show. You're a Cowboys guy, Jalen Tolbert. So Gallup might not play week 1. All right, maybe that's too nice of a word. I do not expect him to play week 1.
Yeah.
So what are the expectations with Tolbert? I've taken him in best ball quite a bit towards the end because I think he's their week 1 wide receiver 2 until Gallup is back. Are you optimistic? He's someone where I'm just like, oh, Cowboys offense, good. I'm going to take some darts. But I don't know. Like, how raw is he? He was a small school guy, but he was very productive. Like, is he someone that's going to produce early? Or am I just chasing Dak Prescott offense? Tolbert.
I think he's going to be better than a lot of people think, but I don't think he's going to be that good. I mean, it is a Dak Prescott offense. But, I mean, where is he at on the pecking order? It's going to be CeeDee Lamb. It's going to be Dalton Schultz. I think James Washington is going to have a bigger role in this offense than people believe. You still have Tony
Pollard
there.
Don't tell me that. Oh, no.
Just from what I'm hearing, man, that Oklahoma State close to Texas bias, what I'm hearing is he's probably going to have a bigger role than we think. Schultz is still going to get his. Pollard and Zeke. Commands quite a lot more targets than people expect. I don't know what your redraft. No, dynasty best ball probably. Like best ball redraft maybe. I think he. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I take him in like a managed redraft league. No. I think it would just be best ball. Where I've taken him so far. I've taken him a couple times.
I like it. I don't hate it. I don't hate it in best ball. Mm-hmm. But if you got to, like, start a lineup, hell no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Actually, one last question. Then I've got to go out and walk the dog.
Yeah.
Are people being idiots when they're like Romeo Doubs over Christian Watson? I think they are.
Yes.
I mean, there's like the 7, like we talked about before, there's like a 7% hit rate on these day 3 receivers. Yeah. Like, why am I supposed to be such a talent scout that I'm 100% sure that Doubs is the guy?
Listen, that's an absolute no. Like, there's no way. There's no fucking way, Larky. Like, that's just...
Okay, thank you.
I'm not even the biggest Christian Watson fan, and that's just a ridiculous statement to make. And I'm not even the biggest Christian Watson fan. That's silly. No, thank you. No, thank you. Give me Dubs all day. All day. I mean, give me Watson over Dubs.
I knew what you meant. I knew you meant.
Jesus Christ. and the thing is, for me, man, like I was kind of excited to see what he could be, and then I went and watched him at the Senior Bowl, and like he was just terrible. Like he couldn't get off the
line.
Did
he look 4.7? Because I think he ran. Didn't he? I think he ran 4.7.
No,
so he looked slow.
No, he looked a little faster than that. But there's just a lot of things, man. Like he could not get off the line. I mean, I've got videos on my phone where a cornerback from Coastal Carolina, I believe, or the College of Charleston or something, just got all into his chest and having to restart the drill, do it over again, just tell him to get out of the way and let somebody else step up. And that's at the Senior Bowl. Like, he's just, I think he has, here's the thing, man. If you're in the NFL, mostly, right, you can catch the football. Like, you can catch it, right? Like, when it's in the air and he's downfield, he looks good when he catches it. But it's everything that's required to get to point Z in order to catch the ball where he's just not good in that department. And I want to like him. I think he's a big product of Carson Strong just locking onto one guy in a Nevada offense, and they just air it out, and he was just better than those guys. And then he bumped up in competition and not very good.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. It's just... My stats take was this looks like he's the guy that's going to return their kicks and punts. Yep. He was very good at that at Nevada. Round four, not a lot to work with. We already know that if there was like a team that doesn't love their rookie receivers, it would be the Packers potentially. Just seems like he's probably going to get the Amari Rodgers treatment.
And yes. That,
like, Watson's the one where it's like they just need a body. This is who they took in round two. He's going to be out there.
So. Yep. Yep. Cool. All right,
we're on the same page there.
All right, Larky. Appreciate it, brother.
Recording the backup. All right. I'm pretty excited for this one. This is going to be...
It's episode 5, right?
Yeah, it's episode 5. I wasn't sure. I was trying to think. I was like, what should we do? Because I know that we talked about doing like a dynasty show where it's like looking at the future and like running backs versus receivers and stuff. But I was like, you know what? This is kind of more fun.
This is good.
And I think it's more actionable because people are like starting to get excited about redraft. And this is good for both communities, the redraft, best ball, and dynasty. I think we'll both like this.
Yeah. Yeah. This is good. This is good, man. You ready to roll?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's get it. All right, everybody. Welcome back. This is episode 5 of the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. I thought I had a smooth intro, Josh. We're going to redo that right now.
Redo it.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Larky.
Talk to me.
Oh, shit. Uh-oh. Hold on. I think I've got double feedback from the local recording in this one. Hold on, Josh. I hear myself twice, and that's not going to work. I can't do this the whole episode. Sorry.
No, I always joke about the producers in my ear. You've literally...
No, literally...
They're actually in your ear.
I hear myself twice. Hold on. I think I know what it is. All right, there we go. I'm sorry.
Outtakes material.
All right, we're good now. We're good. I muted it. We're good to go. Let's go.